This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Charities Fight for Sight and Vision Foundation released a report highlighting the acute experiences of loneliness among people who are blind or vision impaired. The report, based on evidence gathered by Aberdeen University, found that blind and vision impaired people are three times more likely to experience loneliness or isolation than the general population. Joining us now to discuss this report and its findings is Ellie Southwood, Director of Impact and External Affairs with Fight for Sight and Vision Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, this is quite a worrying figure. We're looking at what blind and vision impaired people are three times more likely to experience loneliness or isolation. That's a big figure. But what other findings did you discover through this report?
It is a really shocking figure, isn't it? I think one of the reasons we set out to do the research in the first place was because anecdotally, we heard a lot about people's experiences of loneliness and isolation, and we really wanted to dig into what that meant. So the statistics are one thing. Blind and partially sighted people told us they're three times more likely to be experiencing loneliness. Also, that loneliness is much more chronic for them than for the general population. But there's also a lot in the report about what that feels like. So, for example, people talked about a feeling of being the last person alive, like the only human being around. People talked about that experience of being in crowded places or being out and about and still feeling very, very isolated. Some people talked about not leaving home for days at a time, not talking to anyone, but, you know, really quite sobering, really sort of deeply held feelings of loneliness and isolation, and a sense as well that it was inevitable. So what really shocked me in particular was the way that people who were interviewed talked about the link between being blind or vision impaired and inevitably being lonely or isolated. And fundamentally at Fight for Sight Vision Foundation, we don't believe that's inevitable. We don't believe that because you can't see you should be at a disadvantage at all in any area of life. So over the last year, obviously it's taken us time to gather this evidence. So we've already started to fund organisations who are running projects to support blind and vision impaired people, to make great connections, to do the things in life that bring us all joy and that really do help prevent loneliness and isolation. So we spent £500,000 last financial year and we're going to spend the same again this year, at least really tackling loneliness and isolation for people. So that's sports projects, for example, people getting fit and active, which we know helps with mental well-being and increases people's confidence in going out. Projects that help people make friends. I think sometimes, and particularly post-COVID, it's quite hard to make new friends, and especially if you're new to sight loss, I think that can feel incredibly daunting. So, and also helping people to feel digitally connected. We know face-to-face is really important. We also know that being online is a great way of connecting. Perhaps if you live in a rural area where it's harder to get around, or there aren't as many people close by, you don't live near, so near your neighbours. So a whole range of projects, which we're really pleased about, and we're really keen to see the difference that they make.
I'm a little bit curious about, I guess, the demographic group you spoke with. Have you noticed any differences when it came to age groups or maybe gender groups, or was it pretty much across the board? It really didn't matter.
It was pretty much across the board. I would say that one of the key things that we found from the report was a real lack of data, actually. So the government gathers information about whether people's well-being, loneliness and isolation, but they don't break that data down to understand the unique experiences of blind and vision impaired people. So there's lots more we could know. And I think what's really interesting, and some other research in the sector suggests this as well, often we assume that older people are experiencing loneliness. What's been really interesting is to see how much younger people are feeling lonely and isolated, and actually feeling that it's really hard to make friends. So it really brought it home, actually, that whatever age people are, whatever gender, and also different living situations, that actually Loneliness is experienced in different ways. One of the other big findings was that people felt strongly that being blind or vision impaired made other life experiences feel really hard and much more lonely. So, for example, bereavement. People talked about staying in marriages that were not right for much longer because they felt too afraid of sort of making it on their own. It's really interesting the different ways that this is affecting people. And obviously, we're funding projects that will help to understand this a lot better.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the projects you're working on. You have worked in the past, you maybe have in a pipeline.
We're a grant-making organisation, so we often put out calls to the sector to ask what great ideas people have for how to tackle loneliness and isolation. We did that last year, and we'll be doing that again this year. What has been fantastic is that the projects that have come forward have been real partnerships. So, being blind or vision impaired is a hugely important part of someone's life, but it's often not the only thing. Often, people have other characteristics too, they live in different places. And so, I love that we're seeing more and more partnerships come forward. So, for example, we're funding some work in Oxfordshire where the local society is working with the local council and with Natural England as well to really increase the accessibility and the ways that people access parks, green spaces, and are able to get out and about. So we're really excited about that. We're really excited as well about some of the work that's being done to help people make friends and socialise. But actually, that's not always just about meeting other vision impaired people. Sometimes it is, and that can be really important. But sometimes it's also about perhaps having a volunteer to assist you to go to a local community group in the village you live in, where you will only be the only blind or vision impaired person, but actually you really want to build links with your local community and make friends locally. And that sense of connection, was really came through strongly. One of our interviewees said, he just sits on the sofa like Homer Simpson, there's nothing to do, and there's so much around us in the world. And I think blind and vision impaired people have, right to have equal access to all of that and to have friends and to be a friend to others. A couple of interviewees were saying, who'd want to be friends with me? They'd have to help me so much. And friendships are about give and take, aren't they? And I just really want to be able to fund projects that help people get that self-confidence. And I think not just for people who are newly diagnosed, actually, and that was also quite interesting. Even people who'd been blind for a long time also felt these feelings of isolation. But we do know that when people are diagnosed or they're going through a clinical diagnosis or going to an ophthalmologist, that very little emotional and practical support is available. So, we're really supportive of, I know, the pathway that RNIB and others in the sector have developed. We're 100% behind that because actually a lot of people's feelings of loneliness and isolation come from that first feeling of rejection and feeling alone with sight loss.
Well, Ellie, you've covered so much today. So if we wanted to find out a bit more about the report and perhaps some of the projects you are helping fund, where can we go?
The best thing to do would be to go to the Vision Foundation website, where you will be able to read the report, and also we detail lots of the projects that we're funding. Also, that's where we will be advertising when we are next looking for fantastic projects to fund.
Fantastic. Ellie Southwood from Fight for Sight and Vision Foundation. Thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.